May it please the Court, opposing counsel. Your Honors, this is a case which is controlled by authority that came down this past summer after briefing United States v. Kevin Williams, 493 Fed 3rd, 763, and I'm filing a supplemental letter with this authority. The issue in this case is whether or not the trial judge could find by preponderance of the evidence the amount of crack cocaine in a particular case where the parties obtained special verdicts both as to the nature of the drug involved and as to the amount. Now, we submit that the logic and rationale of the Williams case controls here because, as the Court observed, sentencing factors like elements are facts that must be tried to the jury and proved beyond a reasonable doubt. In the Williams case, neither the drug amount nor the drug nature of the drug was actually found by special verdict. The Court, however, found that that was clear error and decided not to, well, under the latest case, Washington versus Ricorino, the government convinced the Court that that was harmless error. Harmless beyond a reasonable doubt because it's constitutional error.
So now you're basing an argument on a case decided last summer?
It was decided sometime in late summer, Judge.
Why haven't you submitted a Rule 28, whatever it is, supplement? You haven't, have you?
Judge, I was going to do that. I didn't realize that we hadn't. I had found the case. But the authority that the case is based upon was in place at the time that we wrote our brief. And the authority, of course, is Apprendi and Booker and those cases.
But in addition, those cases just apply to statutory maximums, and what we're talking about in this case is a mandatory minimum, which is outside that line of cases.
Actually, it's not, Your Honor.
Harris decision.
The Second Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, the D.C. Circuit, the Fourth Circuit, all have pointed out, and Judge Luttig in the Fourth Circuit specifically pointed out that there's a lot of nomenclature problems saying that something is an element in one case and a critical fact in another case. That's all irrelevant. The point is that in this case, where the judge's finding doubled the mandatory minimum from 5 years to 10 years and doubled the upper level from 40 years to life, there can be no question but this case raises a clear Apprendi issue.
Well, your client was sentenced to the mandatory minimum, as I understand it, correct?
Because it was the mandatory minimum.
Right, and the Supreme Court's Harris decision is still on the books, as I understand it, which held that Apprendi has nothing to do with mandatory minimums, and that was not displaced by Booker, as we've held in a number of different cases.
Well, a number of decisions from other circuits completely reject that rationale and
but
find that Harris.
But just as many from our circuit have deferred to Harris, as long as it's still good law.
Well, I don't know if it is good law, but I only have a few minutes, so it's hard to really get into an analysis of Harris, Shepard, and all of those cases. But I can say this, that the trial judge made specific findings on the record, and that's document 95-11, pages 19 through 21, that if his hands were not bound by his preponderance of the evidence finding that there was more than 50 grams, that he would have given him less than the 120 months. And that is a finding that I think has to be taken into consideration. That did not occur. Now, Harris is distinguished completely, and I think very well, in United States versus Gonzalez, which we mentioned in our brief, that's in the Second Circuit. And the government attempts to distinguish Velasco versus Heredia, and I think that it's a distinction without merit. The case here is clear. Under the Williams case, we had a special verdict both as to the nature of the drugs. We have a special verdict as to the amount of the drugs. Now the government doesn't like the special verdict that it got. And I think that that raises another issue, estoppel. Thank you. I want to reserve a few seconds for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Moran. Ms. Fairley?
May it please the Court. My name is Sharon Fairley, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the United States. Defendant Cannon raises the issue that his sentence was based on judge-made fact findings based on a preponderance that resulted in a mandatory minimum. This finding was, of course, consistent with Harris. Harris explicitly stated that mandatory minimums, so long as they do not exceed the statutory maximum that would apply based on the jury's fact finding but by a reasonable doubt, are perfectly acceptable. Defendant's reliance on Velasco Heredia is again misplaced. The facts of that case are completely distinguishable from the case at bar. In Velasco Heredia, the fact finding by reasonable doubt resulted in a statutory maximum of 5 years. The judge then found by preponderance of evidence a drug quantity that would invoke a range of 5 to 40 years, and then the defendant was sentenced to 5 years. So again, in that case, the defendant was sentenced at the maximum that would apply based on the fact-finding by reasonable doubt. In this case...
So are you saying that the judge, by finding, you know, without a jury and by preponderance of the evidence, can jack up a mandatory minimum?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, are you saying that the judge, if he finds by a preponderance of the evidence a larger drug quantity than the jury found, can he then impose a higher mandatory minimum on the defendant?
Yes, that's what Harris says. That.
Well, what's the sense of that? Because the basic idea of Booker is that it's all right for the judges to make these fact findings themselves without a jury and without proof beyond a reasonable doubt, as long as they, because their discretion to issue any sentence within the statutory limits is preserved.
Well, as I understand,
if he jacks up the mandatory minimum, then he can't go below that.
That's correct.
So his preponderance finding has, you know, frozen his discretion. How does that square with Booker?
As I understand the finding in Harris, is that the mandatory...
Harris, how does it square with Booker?
Well...
To allow the judge, by a mere preponderance of the evidence and without a jury, to increase the mandatory minimum with the result that his sentencing discretion is curtailed.
Well, as I understand it, Booker establishes that any fact that raises the statutory maximum must be found by the fact finder beyond a reasonable
That's
doubt.
That's too mechanical. What Booker says is that to comply with the Sixth Amendment, a judge's discretion must not be limited by findings that he makes without, you know, by preponderance, right?
Yes, but also Harris clearly says that once the outset, the extent, the maximum is established by what the jury has found or the judge has found by a reasonable doubt, then within that, the sentencing court has broad discretion, and that discretion can be limited by Congress, and judges can be instructed
well,
to find.
If Congress sets these, you know, minimums and maximums, that's fine. But the judge isn't allowed to alter the maximum, right? And he isn't allowed to alter that because that would be infringing on the jury's prerogatives. But it's the same thing if he jacks up the mandatory minimum, because that means that he can't give a lower sentence. And he can't give a lower sentence on the basis of his own finding by a preponderance rather than a jury finding by proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So how does that comport with the spirit of Booker?
Well, I'm not sure that... I think what the Supreme Court said in Harris is again, that the difference there's a difference between elements, and then there is a difference between elements and sentencing factors, and the elements are what create the statutory maximum, and that The trial court in sentencing can find by preponderance of evidence other facts that relate to sentencing factors that create these mandatory minimum. And that is consistent with the Sixth Amendment rights.
But Harris precedes Booker by several years, right? So how do you fit Harris together with Booker? Do you see the problem? The problem is the Supreme Court thought that the only way it could preserve the sentencing guidelines was to make them mandatory. That way the judge would not be bound in his sentencing by the findings he made concerning drug quantity or what have you, right?
Yeah, and I think what the...
But here, as a result of the judge's finding about the drug quantity, he ties his hands. He can't give a lower sentence than the mandatory minimum, and it's he who has, by his findings, determined what that mandatory minimum is.
And I think the difference...
Doesn't that violate the Sixth Amendment?
I think the difference is with Booker, you know, the sentencing guidelines being found to be advisory. The sentencing guidelines had a very specific range that were prescribed based on all the factors that led to the sentencing decision. I think the difference with Harris is that Harris is only invoking the minimum, which is based on what Congress has established.
Only. No. Congress establishes the maximum under Booker and the minimum.
Yes.
But the point is that it is the district judge by his findings who is determining what the applicable mandatory minimum is. He's tying his hands. He's losing his discretion.
He is losing his discretion with
regard. Booker doesn't permit that. It says you can't have sentencing determined by a judge's findings on preponderance. He has to make those findings, and he can, you know, use that to guide his sentence, but it can't be the end. And now you're saying that because of these preponderance findings that the judge made, he had to sentence this person to a higher sentence than he would have been able to do if those findings had not been controlling.
And that's correct, but he still has his discretion and on the basis of the other 3553 factors.
He can't go below the statutory minimum, can he?
No, he cannot.
No. Right. Okay. Well,
thank you. The jury's verdict authorized the 10-year sentence with or without the judicial fact-finding, isn't that right?
The jury's verdict was based... The jury's basically found that the drug quantity should be between 5 and 50 grams, which had a range of 5
years.
To 40 years.
Right.
So, yes, the jury verdict absolutely did.
No, wait. What was the jury range?
The jury range was based on the drug quantity that they found with the special verdict form, which was between 5 and 50 grams of crack cocaine.
What was the sentencing range?
5 to 40 years.
5 to 40?
Yes.
But the judge couldn't give a 5-year sentence.
Based on the judge's
findings. That's the whole point. The judge made findings based on preponderance of the evidence that pushed up the sentence above what he could have done, right, if he hadn't altered the mandatory minimum.
Yes.
See the tension with Booker?
I do, Your Honor, but still the language in Harris is pretty
clear. Yes, and of course Harris is 3 years earlier than Booker, right? Did the Supreme Court discuss Harris in the Booker case?
I don't recall, Your Honor.
Okay, well thank you very much, Ms. Fairley. So Mr. Moran, does he have a minute?
Your Honors, I'd just like to point out that in the Gonzalez case, there's an analysis by the Second Circuit on why Harris has no application, where the point that Your Honor just made, the finding by the jury on a special verdict increases or doesn't increase. Excuse me, let me rephrase that. Where the judge's preponderance finding simultaneously increases both the mandatory minimum and the maximum. Harris, under 924C, the U.S. Supreme Court noted that there was an implicit statutory maximum that was consistent throughout the statutory schema, and that was life imprisonment. That is not the case under 840.
But Harris does allow the judge to alter the minimum, right? Push it up.
Right. The Second Circuit says we're not just talking about altering the minimum, we're altering the maximum. They're trying to keep the case within the...
Did the Supreme Court discuss Harris and Booker or cite Harris?
I don't recall. What I find interesting, though, is that Harris, of course, was a plurality, and the fifth vote for Harris was from Justice Breyer, who then later writes Booker, at least one of the Booker opinions. And I think that that's important because, let's face it, I mean, we all have to concede the fact that the law has changed so radically in the last 6 years in this area that we're playing catch-up constantly. But I think that in this particular case, the law should take the position that jury findings, which are otherwise required by law, should not be rendered nullities by later actions.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Varan. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.